morning, and we will get to the finish line. Maybe. Okay, we'll get to the point where we need to get to. We finish up the Mishnah and the Sugya. Mishnah talked about the bird fluttering over the nest, and it's touching the nest. So then the Mishnah says that you're going to be chayev. If it's not actually touching the nest, then you're going to be pater. And then the Mishnah says, even despite the fact that the Torah says efrochim uveitzim, chicks and eggs, nevertheless, there's still a mitzvah even if there's one. So ancham efroch amalei hamer rabban l'rava. So the Gemara wants a little bit of clarification on this point. Ema ibcha. So why do we say the following? Look, you could have made the following argument. The fact that the Torah says that you need eggs or chicks means you need eggs or chicks, meaning one's not going to be sufficient. And the fact that the eggs may not be fertilized, or the chicks may be already be able to fly, but still, kan, it's a nest. It's a nest nevertheless. So kan mikomakom. Period. Right? So this is a suggestion made by one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva, and says to Rava, I don't understand. You could have gone that direction, and then your conclusions would have been just the opposite from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, even if it's one egg, it's sufficient. Why? Because kan mikol makom. Because it says a nest, mikol makom either way. And you could have said, and the Mishnah says that the chicks have to be totally dependent on the mother, and the eggs have to be fertilized. Why? Because it says Eferochim uveitzim, and we made the connection between Eferoch and Beitza. So this Talmud says to Rava, you could have gone just the opposite. So the Rava's response: Im kain nichtov kra va'aim rovetzes aleihem. Pasuk could have just simply said that the mother is rovetzes on them. My v'ha'aim rovetzes ale Eferochim ala Beitzim. Lakushe Eferochim la Beitzim uveitzim la Eferochim. Rav explains, well, because look, the Torah didn't have to end the punctuate the pasuk with Eferochim Aveitzim. The pasuk could have just simply said them, meaning the Eferochim and the Beitzim. And the fact that the Torah then repeats itself and says Eferochim Aveitzim, that is a clear raya that the Torah wants to make a hekesh between the egg and the chick. Just like the chick is a viable animal, the egg also has to be a viable animal, i.e. it's fertilized. And just like the eggs are totally dependent on the mother, so too the chicks have to be totally dependent on the mother. Good. That's Rava's response. That's our conclusion, obviously. So far, where are we at right now is that the mother has to be either situated on top of the eggs themselves. We asked all the questions yesterday about chatzitza. What if you have a shmata? What if there are other things that interpose between mother and the child, but the mother has to be basically on top of the eggs? Hovering is okay as long as it's touching, but it has to be directly over. One egg is sufficient, one chick would be sufficient, and that is the conclusions from the previous sugya. Okay. We start one of the last sugyas of the 12th perek, and it's a good one. Shalcha v'chazra. Send away the mother bird, but, you know, it's her children. So she comes back. Afilu arba v'chamisha pa'amim chayev. The mitzvah doesn't go away. So if the bird comes back, the mitzvah comes back. And so therefore you could send it away again and send it away again and keep doing it four or five times, says the Mishnah.
Is it a separate mitzvah?
Okay. Well, there are going to be other very basic questions coming up. I don't know the answer. But there will be other very basic questions coming up. Shalech shenema, shalech to shalech etzaim. Because the pasuk says, send away the mother bird. And you see the double lashon, right? Of shalech tishalach. Send it, send it. Amar hareini notel etzaim umishalech etzabanim. Now let's say this guy's a little bit confused. And he says, okay, how about this? I'm going to send away the chicks and take the mother bird. Well, I mean, he'll pick them up. You'll forgive me for my... No, I understand that, but shalech just simply means pick it up and throw them.
No, but they're supposed to fly. Why can I...
That's your assumption they're supposed to fly. And right? And in fact, you'll see in just a moment that some Amoraim do not agree with you. Okay, so chayv shenemar shalech tishalech esaim. So you're still obligated because the pasuk says you have to send away the mother bird. But the Mishnah's point is not that you're still obligated, but you are. In other words, you still have a mitzvah opportunity on your hands as long as you're holding the mother bird. Okay, natal esabanim v'hichziran la or lakan, depending on how your gears in the Mishnah went. you took the children and you returned the children back to the nest. And then mom comes back. So you see here you blew it. And why did you blow it? Because once you picked up the chicks, now you are the official owner of the chicks. And there's no more mitzvah. The mitzvah is ki karei. That it has to be in a state of ownerlessness.
But you send them other way in the first place, so you did the mitzvah.
The first thing you did is you took the children without sending the mother bird away. And then you put the chicks right back.
Here it says, send them away.
Yeah, okay, fine. You're right. Yeah. Right.
I said a small book and this is one. I said, you know, somebody can send away and then have his neighbor do the same thing right, and by putting it back.
Uh-huh.
And maybe calling it onerous at
that point. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So anyway, so the right, so as Rashi explains in the Mishnah, the problem is that once you take the chicks, you have now established ownership over the chicks. You put the chicks back in the nest, and the mother bird comes back, and you don't have a mitzvah. Why? Because the Torah says ki yikarei. The Torah says that it has to be in an opportunistic setting, and this is no longer opportunistic as now you own the chicks.
Can you call it onanos and claim it that it's going to be onanos?
Can you declare it hefker?
Yeah.
Right. That's a good question. It sounds like it would work. Okay. So a couple, before we get to the big stuff, so a couple of technical points. Why don't we just simply say shaleach means send it away once, and tishaleach means send it away twice, and two times. Okay, in other words, the Mishnah says four times, five times, two times. So Amalei, so he says, no, you totally misunderstood. Shaleach afilo me'apa amim. Look, the first shaleach means you send it away, and even if it's 100 times. Meaning shaleach is, it's always in a state of you need to send it away. So you send it away, it comes back. You send it away, it comes back. Shaleach, shaleach is a state of being. Meaning it's always in a state of once it's returned, you have a mitzvah to send it away. Good. So now, the question is, so what do I need to shaleach for? So the Gemara says, to shaleach, ein li elo dvar harishos. So here's what the Tishalach is coming to teach us. That let's say I have the following dilemma, where I have the mother bird sitting on the eggs, and I have this mitzvah, Shiluach HaKan. Who knew? I was walking in the forest, and I see the nest, and I didn't know. Totally unexpected, I have this great opportunity. At the same time, I happen to be, I'm going to give the example the Gemara is about to give, I'm a mitzvah. Which, by the way, makes sense because the mitzvah is by himself and he's out in the forest and, you know, b'chutz teishev. Okay, so it makes sense that he's out there in the middle of nowhere. And he's a mitzvah. And as part of his tahara process, he needs to start off with the process of the birds, the two birds. So here's one. I know he needs two, but here's one bird. And now, so he has a dilemma. Meaning, I could either send it away to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, or I could take it for myself, for the mitzvah of Taharas HaMitzorah. And what the Gemara now is saying is, that's the second tishalach. Meaning the first shalach means send it away, that's your mitzvah, good. And even 100 times, good. The second tishalach is coming to tell me that even if there's another mitzvah opportunity that I could do with that bird, and not just another mitzvah opportunity, but a positive mitzvah, a mitzvah saseh, and later on we'll describe, will be even more dramatic in terms of how important the mitzvah of Taharas HaMitzorah is. But nevertheless, shaleach tishalach. You choose the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird. You choose that mitzvah over the mitzvah of Taharas HaMitzorah. Now later on, the Gemara will ask the obvious question, what gives us the right to choose? And what makes the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein more significant than the mitzvah of Taharas HaMitzorah? So stay tuned as we will discuss that later on. The Gemara is going to ask that question later on.
Precedence is the first mitzvah you come upon.
Yeah, but you're already a mitzvah and you already need a tahara.
No, but the thing is that sending it away is like the first mitzvah.
Okay, so again, we're going to debate, but before we debate, there's a lot of basic issues that need to be that need to be uncovered over here. Amalei Rav Abba. Okay, but still, it's a mitzvah. They're both mitzvahs. Let's say it's plain and simple. I know. In other words, it's enjoyable and exciting to try to weigh the two mitzvahs side by side, and we'll see which one takes precedence. And the Gemara will do a little bit of that later on. But right now, just to keep the discussion nice and simple, they're both mitzvahs that I have now, and it's one bird, and I have two mitzvah opportunities. And so good. So Amalei Rav Abba Barei de Rav Yosef Bar Rav Ala Rav Kahana Ela Taim de Kasa Rechman Tishalach Alav Hachi Hava Amin Advar Mitzvah Lo. So the Gemara says, even without the pasuk, even without the second Tishalach, I don't understand. Let's see what's going on over here. Aseva Lo Sasehu. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen is twofold. It's a positive commandment and a Lo Saseh. The Torah says, Lo Sikach. Don't take the mother bird. And the Torah says, Shalach tishalach, send it away. So that's two. It's an ase and a los ase. For Taurus and Metzora, it's just one ase. So in other words, assuming everything else is equal.
But the thing is, if you don't have any need for the baby chicks on your Metzora, does that negative prohibition apply to you?
So I understand that, and it seems to be the Gemara, right now, in the Gemara's analysis, Gemara seems to say, yeah, it doesn't, in other words, the law is still enforced. The Torah says, lo sikach.
You have no intention whatsoever to hand the chick or have anything with it.
Understood. Understood your point, and the Gemara is still asserting that there's an iser, a law of lo sikach. So what do you have now on the scales? You have the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, which is lo saseh and aseh. You have Taurus HaMetzorah, which is only aseh. It seems to be a no-brainer. That's exactly what bothers the Gemara. Vein ase doche lo sase vase. So the Gemara's answer is lo tzricha da avre v'shaklei la'aim. The lav avre, asehu di'ika, le sase, velitche ase, kamash malan. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion, and listen carefully, because this is where it gets exciting. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the person took it. Meaning, I know, the Torah says not to. Okay? Torah says you shouldn't. Lo sikach. But the but you went ahead and you did it. So now the lav is over. Okay? And the lav is over, so now what's left? The mitzvah saseh of shalech teshalach versus the mitzvah saseh of tahara samitzara. And so now I would have thought, now that they leveled the playing field, and it's aseh versus aseh, so I might have thought tahara samitzara should take precedence over the mitzvah of shiluach, and that's why the pasuk of shalech teshalach. Second time to tell me, you're going to favor the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Okay.
You're assuming that the Messiah has one bird already?
Okay.
Because otherwise it needs two, right?
Okay.
So if it doesn't have any.
Okay. It's a fair point. Before we even discuss anything further, really, again, fundamental issues right now. So the Gemara just made this assumption, which we're going to seriously challenge, and that is that once I take the bird, so I violate the lav, and we are done with the lav, meaning we're finished. And the issue now really is the following. Are we really finished with the lav? Meaning you took the bird. Is that means the lav is over? Or so many different ways to dissect this question of the Gemara. But basically, the real question that's going to be behind this is, how do you understand that lav of lo sikach? All right. So there are, let me present it in one of two ways. Meaning, number one, what the Torah, and by the way, everything I'm saying right now is really a preview to the next Mishnah. Okay? So, not just throwing things out there. Number one, it could say that the Torah says lo sikach, that you shouldn't take it. And you take it. And the Torah could be saying now that you violated the lav, there's reparation. There's a way to repair. How are you going to repair it? Shalech tishalach hasaim. Send away the mother bird. So in other words, it's a lav hanitak la'aseh. It's a negative prohibition which can be remedied with the positive commandment to shalech tishalach. That's one way to view the mitzvah.
Second chance.
Okay, second chances. Or,
you can rectify it.
You can rectify it. Or we could say, what are you talking about? If you took the mother bird from the nest for yourself, you lost your mitzvah opportunity. Meaning the Torah's mitzvah, shalech teshalech, means that you need to send the mother bird away. Period. Meaning the mitzvah saseh doesn't come after the fact. the mitzvah saseh of sending the mother bird away is there from the very beginning. And so it's not a lav hanitak laseh in the sense that the aseh wasn't there to back up the lav. The aseh is there to tell you from the very beginning, once you approach that nest, shalech tishalach. And once you take it, you've ruined everything.
The question is there a time limit on the mitzvah aseh?
I'm not sure about time limits, but basically, I gave you two basic ways to look at how to view the play of the aseh and the lo aseh. One way is that the lav is coming hanitak la aseh to repair the aseh, meaning sorry, let me do it the other way around. The aseh is coming to repair the lo aseh. The Torah says lo sikach, you take it, okay, reparation. Go ahead now, send the mother bird away. That's one way to view it. Or the other way to view it is no. There is a mitzvah saseh from the very beginning. Meaning it's not there to repair the lav, it's there in the very beginning. And then the lav, if you violate the lav, stands by itself. Now essentially, those are the two ways to look at it. Now let's say we looked at it as lav anitak laseh. Let's take the first approach, which is the Chachamim's approach. Okay? That this the aseh is there to repair the lav. Now we get on to really a fundamental issue, which is even if that's true, lav anitak laseh. So do you get Malkus for violating the lav? So what do you say? You get Malkus for violating that lav?
Yeah, you can have a warning.
Okay, the warning is going to be an issue.
No, but I think it's because every time they hear a warning, you can say, I'm going to send away.
Warning is going to be an issue. I totally agree with you. Rashi deals with that technical issue. It's an important point, okay? But are you going to get Malkus for the lav hanitak laseh? So the simple answer is, well, isn't there reparation? I mean, the Torah says that there's a way to repair. Okay. So, watch now as we go into this discussion. Hanicha lamadit ni kimu velo kimu. You know, there's a brisa in Makos, in the third parak of Makos, and the brisa, one way it starts is with the word kimu, it ends with the words bitlu. So basically, the Amoraim take that brisa in Makos and say, look, line it up. Either it's kimu and lo kimu, or bitlu velo bitlu. Okay? Again, we're not learning the brisa right now. We don't have the brisa in front of us right now. It's in the Gemara and Makos. Okay. There are basically two ways to look at that one particular brisa. Now, kimu velo kimu, look at Rashi. Kimu velo kimu kol mitzvah lo sase sheish bo kumase. Anytime you have a negative prohibition, which the Torah then follows up with, here, now that you messed up, here's what you can do to repair, kagon zeh. Meaning, here's a perfect example. We're not going to go anywhere else. Shenita kalav laseh, demashma lo sikach, v'im lakcha, ki amaseh sheba, kishehizru bo lo sikach, v'lakcha, v'shalcha besoch kedei dibor, shalasra, pater. V'af api asha avra al lo sikach. Okay? It's true. You now have a way to repair. But you violated the lav. Okay? And here, if you're working with the position of kimu velo kimu, it means like this. It means that once you violate the law, and now we wait, that's really it, you're going to get Malkus, period. Now, what about the fact that, wait a second, I could repair, right? I still have an aseh opportunity. That's great, and do it, but you're going to get Malkus. Meaning, if you violate the law, and you paused, and you lapsed just a little bit, and so now the warning, so to say, kicks in, so you're going to get Malkus. Even though there's a way of repairing the situation, but it's still a law. Okay. That's one way to view lav hanitak laaseh. That the lav stands, the lav is in force, you're going to get Malkus for the lav, and then afterwards, you do tshuva, you send away the bird. Good. So, hanicha, let's go back to the Gemara. Hanicha laman didni kimu velo kimu. So good. So that means then, follow. I have a bird. I took it. Again, I shouldn't have. I took it. So now I have an aseh versus an aseh. The aseh of shalech to shalach versus the aseh of taharas and mitzora. We're talking about a case where I'm a mitzora. Good. And if you work with this first understanding of kimu velo kimu, that means that you could take the bird, violate the lav, get malchus for the lav, and remove the lav from the equation. Good. But what if you don't hold kimo velo kimo, and you hold bitlu velo bitlu? And that means that the lav and the aseh are linked. Linked. And that also means that you didn't violate the lav to its fruition until you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah saseh. Okay? And it's really, in other words, the lav and the aseh are so connected that we don't even view it as a lav until the aseh goes away.
So there's no time limit.
And there is no time limit if you work with this position of bitlu velo bitlu. Bitl means that the mitzvah saseh is gone, negated, done. But as long as you have that mitzvah opportunity, the lav isn't even kicking yet.
The life of the mother bird, you
can
no longer physically send it away.
I was going right.
To say the other thing,
then
time's over.
Right, correct. Ela lamanda tni bitlu velo bitlu kamadlo shachta lo avrei lav. Yeah, but if you hold bitlu velo bitlu, so that means that the lav has not gone away. It means that you didn't even violate the lav yet.
You can always send the bird.
Right, you can always send the bird away. So then you failed on the equation. Meaning what we wanted to do was take the lav out of the equation and have it just simply aseh versus aseh. But if the way you view generally lav hanitak la aseh is a function of they're connected, and as long as I have that aseh opportunity, the lav isn't even there yet, you haven't violated the lav yet, so the lav is still staring you in the face. So now it's still aseh versus lo saseh. Yes. No, the reparation will do is take away the lav so that you didn't even violate the lav. You see, it's fundamental in terms of how to view lav anitak laseh. I'm going to review. If you hold kimu velo kimu, that means that when you violate the lav, you violate the lav, period, done. And the Torah says, okay, now that you violate the lav, and you're going to get malchus, but there's also a way for you to do tshuva in the best way imaginable, which is, here's the next step. Send away the mother bird. But the lav you just violate. You still violate the lav. That's kimu velo kimu. Bitlu velo bitlu means that the lav is not, you didn't violate the lav until you no longer have that opportunity of reparation. Right.
Whatever is going to be sent away anyways. Like the purpose of sending away has been done. The rule of sending away.
Right. In other words, correct. In other words,
it's delayed.
Correct. The lo sikach is almost like the Torah basically saying to you, you really need to send away the mother bird, okay? And unless you fit, in other words, you have no opportunity left to send away that mother bird, then two things just happen. You failed the aseh, and the los aseh is going to kick in. Right. So if that's true, so then we lost it. Because our whole purpose over here was to create an equation where it's just aseh versus aseh, and somehow to get the lav out of the picture. You can only get the lav out of the picture if you maintain kimu velo kimu. But if you hold bitlu velo bitlu, if that's the way you learn the Bryce and Makos, so then that's always going to, the lav and the aseh are always a package deal, and so therefore it's aseh versus lo saseh and aseh. Okay, and that's one problem, says the Gemara. And Vesu, and I'll give you another problem, which is, all this is presupposing that the way to properly view the mitzvah is lav followed then by aseh. Rav Yehuda doesn't even agree with that whole premise. Vesula Rav Yehuda damar shalech mikara mashma afilu asina mileka. And look, according to Rav Yehuda, once you take that mother bird for yourself, you lost everything. You don't even have a mitzvah aseh. Okay? You lost your the positive commandment of shiluach haken. Why? Because the mitzvah aseh is not there as a backup for the lav. The mitzvah aseh stands from the very beginning. And once you take that bird, according to Rav Yehuda, for yourself, you blew it. You blew it. And if that's true, so then...
Because you acquired that bird?
Does he hold it as a function of acquisition? I'm not sure. Or just simply the lost mitzvah opportunity? You may be right. Because now, right now it's no longer mezuman. Okay, it could be. I don't know. The Gemara does not throw that into this equation. It could be, but the Gemara doesn't do that. Ela mamaber avashi kagon shanala amanas l'shalayach. The lav leka, the lav leka, asehu deika v'leis aseh v'letche aseh. So the Gemara says we could do it, we can handle it, meaning that even according to Rav Yehuda, you know what would the scenario would be? Scenario would be where you pick it up to send it away. Even according to Rav Yehuda, at that point in time now, you pick it up to send it away. So now, as you're holding it in your hand, you're now holding on to two mitzvah opportunities. Either the opportunity of Shiluach HaKen, or the mitzvah opportunity of Taharas HaMetzorah. Okay, good. So all that now, great discussion about how to understand...
If you're intending to send it away, how could it be a mitzvah that you put for Metzorah then?
Because while it's in your hand now, you still have that option of changing your mind.
This is all under the assumption...
So in other words, so yes, now at this point in time, you picked it up to send it away. So in other words, you still have saved your mitzvah opportunity, even though the bird now currently is in your hand. And now at this point in time now, there are two mitzvah opportunities, the mitzvah Shiluach HaKen or the mitzvah Taharas HaMetzorah. Now, right, great discussion about how to view Lav HaNitak L'Aseh, but essentially the Gemara got us to the point where it's Aseh versus Aseh, either by holding of the position of Kimu V'lo Kimu, or according to Rav Yehuda, picking up the bird with the intention of sending it away. And now I have Aseh versus Aseh, and now where are we? Shaleach Tishalach. The second Tishalach is coming to teach me, not the mitzvah of Taharas HaMetzorah, but rather the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Good. Umay umay dahay asay mehay asay. And now the Gemara asks the question which we are all wondering. Who, understand? One positive commandment, another positive commandment. What makes one stronger than the other? Saka datcha. Now, by the way, you understand the Gemara's question over here? Meaning, the Gemara is basically asking, look, if it's Aseh versus Aseh,
you can take another bird.
You can always take another bird for Taharas HaMetzorah.
Not this one. This one is a special bird. It has a mitzvah.
Correct. But why would I have even thought that the Taharas HaMetzorah should even play a factor in all this? Meaning, Taharas HaMetzorah, good, I have that mitzvah. But right now I have the mitzvah opportunity of Shiluach HaKen. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me, choose Shiluach HaKen, choose that mitzvah? Right? Can't I just simply say, one positive commandment, they both have value. How do I know what the Schar mitzvah is? I don't know. There's a Schar mitzvah for both of them. Every mitzvah, there's Schar mitzvah. I do understand. I understand that, and I appreciate that. I don't know why the Gemara does not put that into this equation. It doesn't. But you're right. You're right. The Torah says by the mitzvah Shluach HaKen, right? Laman yarichun yamecha, or something along those lines. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't introduce that over here. It is interesting. Now, however, the Gemara is just basically bothered by such a simple question. The Torah needs to tell me which one to choose, right?
Mm-hmm. That's significant because if you get al chadar yamim,
yeah,
able to do more mitzvah. Correct. That's why.
I understand.
By the same token, you can say that if you're not the mitzvah, you've got the mitzvah also. You're not
right. And the Gemara does introduce that idea by Shabbos, meaning violate one Shabbos so that you'll have more Shabbosim ahead of you. There is a lot to what you're saying. However, the Gemara just simply looks at it as two positive commandments. And why does the Torah have to now go out of its way to say, you choose a mitzvah Shiluach HaKen? Why would I have thought otherwise? Why would Taharas HaMetzorah have weighed so heavily on my mind? And the Gemara says, Salka Dadcha Amina. Salka Dadcha. Hol v'amr mar gadol shalom shabein ish l'ishto shari amr Torah shmo shal kadosh baruch shenichta b'kedusha yimcha al amayim. Because look, Shalom Bayis is really important. Okay? Just to give you an idea of how important Shalom Bayis is, let's say that a husband and wife are fighting so much, feuding so much, he suspects her of having adultery, and she secludes herself, and he warns her, don't, and she did anyway, and they bring her to the Beis HaMikdash, and you write the name of Hashem, and you put it in the water, and you erase the name of Hashem just to promote Shalom Bayis. Now, when a man's a Metzorah, he can't be with his wife. And the Gemara goes on to explain. And we know that while he's in a state of tzaras, he can't be with his wife. And that's a lack of shalom bias. And so now look at what look at the decision he's making. Okay? He now has a burn in his hand. So now, either A, the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKen, or B, the mitzvah of Taras HaMetzorah, which is really a Hechitimtza, it's a vehicle toward Shalom Bias. Okay, now you understand, now it's not such an easy decision to make. Shalom Bias is so important, you erase the name of Hashem. Ma'u detem akem da'asu b'tash me'shamita le'si ase didei, v'litcha ase di Shiluch HaKen kamash malan. Now the Gemara says, now you understand what's going on over here, and now the Torah says, Shaleach Tishalach. And then the Gemara ends the discussion over here. I wouldn't mind if the Gemara's discussion would have gone a little bit further. Why does the Torah want the mitzvah Shiluch HaKen to take precedence over Shalom Bias?
Because the mitzvah could find other birds. But the thing is that the Shalom HaKen, if you don't find the bird,
that could be that. It could be that. Right, it could be that. Right, so it's so interesting. Meaning, the Gemara sets up the decision so beautifully, and it sets up the issue so beautifully, and then the Gemara says Shalach to Shalach. Okay, mitzvah Shalach HaKen.
Can you do the mitzvah with one bird? No.
No.
You need two.
That could be another factor. Okay. Could be another factor. Hanota im al abanim. Okay. Mishnah. You take away the mother bird. Noto im al habanim, Rabbi Yehuda amar loko ve'enu mishalech. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you lost your mitzvah opportunity. You're going to get malchus, and you don't send away the mother bird because you lost it. Because what Rabbi Yehuda did, as we already explained this morning, is he takes the mitzvah saseh, not as a backup to the lo saseh, but me'ikara. Just from the very beginning, you have the mitzvah saseh. You took the mother bird for yourself, you blew it. You blew the mitzvah saseh opportunity.
What does he do with the shalom?
Huh? With the words Tishalach, like what we said before, meaning the second Tishalach will be when he has that decision to make. How will he get to that decision? So that's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara said, because he took the bird to send it away. Even Rav Yehuda would agree that he still had that mitzvah then. And the Chachamim say, no, you took the bird, the mother bird, it's in your hand right now. Okay, so fine, so now you have a chance to send it away. And why? Because that klal mitzvah salosa say sheishbo kamasei ain't looking to love. This is a lav hanita klasei, and since you have a way to repair the law that you violated, so you repair the law that you violated. Now it's interesting. I'll ask you this question. I think I know the answer. According to the chachamim, not according to Rav Yehuda. According to the chachamim, who actually order the sequence of the psukim is first the lav, followed then by the asei of shalech tishalach. According to the chachamim, I approach a nest. And I'm just not interested in the mitzvah. Can I just walk by the nest? Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, you have a mitzvah opportunity because he takes the shalech and puts it in front. So in other words, for Rav Yehuda, you know what you're supposed to do now. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. But according to the Chachamim, where for them, it's first the lo sikach lach, followed then by the nitika, the way the Torah repairs it, which is, what if you do take it for yourself, Shalech to Shalech Hatzayim. So that means, according to the Chachamim, can I just walk by the tree? Or
how was that different from not being a positive?
I'll even sharpen the question. According to the Chachamim, is there a mitzvah saseh of Shiluach HaKen?
No.
I know intuitively what the answer is. But I'm not. I do kind of get that, but the way the Mishnah structures it, the mitzvah of Shiluach is to repair the lo saseh. I don't want to be too argumentative because I'm gonna agree with you. I just.
But Kabbalah says that you don't even have to take the baby. The whole point of the mitzvah is to send it away.
Agreed. But I'm saying, but the way the Mishnah sets it up, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's exactly correct. The mitzvah is to send away the mother bird. That's it. But according to the Chachamim, the mitzvah of Shiluach is as a backup to when he violated Lo Sikach.
Chachamim could be saying the same thing, saying, well, and And even if you didn't do it, you
right.
have something to do.
Right. So something.
They say that.
Yeah, no, the mere fact that it says ki kore.
Right.
You are responsible to do it.
Right. I'm going to agree with you, but you could. It does sound a little bit funny the way the Mishnah is setting it up.
Right.
It's a backup. It's a backup to the.
This is why it's interesting. This was the one that made the Acher become Acher.
Yeah. That's. I know we're not going to get there, but we'll get there. Okay. By Rabbi Abba Bar Mama, time of the Rabbi Yehuda Bishum to serve a lav sheni tak laaseh lokan alav. The Gemara starts off like this. What's behind Rabbi Yehuda? Does he agree that it's a lav anitak laaseh? He just feels he get malchus anyway? Meaning, he disagrees with that basic premise of lav anitak laaseh ain lokan alav? Odama ba'ama serve a lav sheni tak laaseh ain lokan alav? Or no? Does he agree that you don't get malchus for a lav anitak laaseh? Va'acha hainu taima bishum to serve a shalach nikar mashma. Or this mitzvah is just not a lav anitak laaseh, meaning that the mitzvah of shaleach is a separate mitzvah going in front of the lav, not behind the lav, but in front of the lav. And once you take it for yourself, that's it. You lost your mitzvah opportunity. Now, I'm telling you the second approach is the correct approach. A, I'm telling you that because the Gemara said that before. I'm telling you that because after a little bit of discussion, the Gemara is going to say that. Right? Talk about a killjoy. So Tashma, Gana v'gazlan yesham b'chal malchus to Rav Yehuda. So we have a brisa, and the brisa says that according to Rav Yehuda, you steal, you're going to get malchus. What? You're going to get malchus. It's a lav ani tek laaseh. You steal. You have a way of giving it back, which is returning the object which you stole. V'ha'ach the lav ani tek laaseh hu. The Rechman amal lo sigzol ve'eshiv zegzela. Shma mina tamid Rav Yehuda mishum dekasav lav sheni tek laaseh lo kedalo. Okay, the brisa I just quoted says you're going to get malchus even though it's a lav ani tek laaseh. So Amalei Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera gives such a great answer to this question. Lava minelchu kima komasis dolatanya bei Rabbi Chia u bei Rabbi Oshia mishabeshtahi. So Rabbi Zera says, where did you get that brisa from? You can bring that brisa here. Authoritative brisas are only brisas that are taught in the Academy of Rabbi Chia or in the Academy of Rabbi Oshia. Now Rabbi Chia, we don't have it organized anywhere, meaning those are we just simply call brisas. Rabbi Oshia, so we call that Toseftas, which are in fact organized. You go to the back of any Gemara, and you'll find the Toseftas in the back of the Gemara. So, right. and Rabbi Chia was a student of Rabbi, and Rabbi Oshia, I don't know. But they're the authoritative brises. So that brisa you just quoted, I'm canceling it. Meaning, I'm ignoring the brisa. I'm sorry. Okay. Tanya.
No.
Tanya. Tashma didn't he Rabbi Oshia Rabbi Chia lo sashuv v'shav lo sechale v'chalei yesh lamechal arba'im div Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So here, how about this? How about I quote a brisa, and it's a brisa of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Oshia. The Torah says when you harvest your field, make sure to leave a corner for the ani. And you don't. And you harvested your whole field, so Rav Yehuda says you're going to get malchus. Or you forgot a sheave in the field. That's shichacha. The Torah says lo sashav, don't go back, and you go back. Now there's reparation, meaning there's a way to repair it, which is just put it back in the field. Or with the corner of the field, it's a little harder, but it's not. But still, in other words, take a percentage and give it to the ani.
Yeah, but what if he consumed it?
Okay, understood. Rav Yehuda says you're going to get malchus. Shema mina time to Rav Yehuda mishum dekasav alav sheni tek laaseh lo kedalo. So again, it sounds like you're going to get malchus even according to Rav Yehuda, even though it's a lav ani tek laaseh. Demahasam hayne time mishum dekasav tazov mikara mashma. And again, you could do what we're doing over here. Which is, no, the mitzvah saseh is not a follow-up to the lav. The mitzvah saseh was there from the very beginning. And you blew the mitzvah saseh. And now that there's no longer a mitzvah saseh, so it's not a lav anitak laaseh. It's just a lav. Amalei ravin lo ravashi tashma lo sisir mimenu ad boker ba'ish tisrofu ba'akas alitain aseh achalos aseh lo melchash ein lokin alav div Rav Yehuda. Okay, here we go. You knew this brisa was coming. Anytime we have this discussion, it always ends on this brisa, which is nosar. And Rav Yehuda says you're not going to get malchus. You leave carbon over. You shouldn't. Lo sosir mimenu ad boker. This is talking about the carbon Pesach, but it's really true about any carbon. and you leave some of the carbon over, you leave some of the meat over, you shouldn't have done that. What do you do in the morning? Ba'ish tisrofu, you burn in fire. And what does Rav Yehuda say about that? And you don't get malchus because it's a lav anitak lase. So good, so let's just end the discussion. Okay, let's end it. Meaning Rav Yehuda says you don't get malchus if it's a lav anitak lase. So then what's the pshan our Mishnah? When you fail to send away the mother bird, when you took it for yourself and Rav Yehuda says you're going to get malchus, good. So the way to understand the Mishnah is it's not a lav anitak lase, but rather it's a se meikara. The mitzvah sase was there at the very beginning, and you failed to do the mitzvah sase, and all you're left now is with a lav.
Maybe he killed the mother.
Could be.
There's no
tikkun
there. He killed the mother.
Could be. Could be. So Shema Mina, time to Rav Yehuda. Good, so end the discussion, says Gemara. So Amalei Rav Yehuda L'Rav Ashi Machlis Anami Deke Diktani Anota Ema Labanim Rav Yehuda Amar Loka Veinu Mishalech. Look, I see it in the Mishnah also. Because the Mishnah says, according to Rav Yehuda, Hanotel im al habanim, you took the mother. Yeah, if you really believe that Rav Yehuda says you're going to get malchus and lav nitak lase, so why don't you do the following? Why don't you get malchus and then send away the mother bird? Why don't you do both? So mi bayilei. So and why didn't the Mishnah say that? Okay, so it's further proof that Rav Yehuda doesn't even view it as a lav anitak lase. And the Gemara suggests, well, if that's your argument, I'm not sure if that's really a good argument. Maybe the Mishnah just simply means send away the mother bird, but the story's not over until he gets malchus. Okay, so that you could understand the Mishnah that way, not that we are going to understand that way, but you could, and that should not be the only reason why we're going to conclude that Rav Yehuda holds lav anitak lase ain lokin alav. Okay, again, close the chapter over here. Rav Yehuda holds you don't get malchus for lav anitak lase, like everybody holds that way. Okay, and the reason in our Mishnah why you're not going to get malchus, why you are going to get malchus according to Rav Yehuda, is because for him it's not lav followed by ase, it's first ase and then alav. And if you took the bird for yourself, that means the assay is now out of the discussion, and all you're left now is with a lav, and so you're going to get malchus. And we don't, right. In other words, on this mitzvah, we don't go like Rav Yehuda. Ad kama mishalcha. Okay, now, after all said and done, how do you do the mitzvah? Okay, we're at the end of the parak. So it's about time that we learn. How do you do the mitzvah? Ad kama mishalcha. So amar Rav Yehuda kadesha teitze mitachas yada. So mitachas yado. It's got to be out of your reach. Okay, so in other words, you're there at the nest, and you send it away far enough where you can't reach it anymore. Okay, not miles away, not even, okay, just out of reach. B'meh mishalcha. Now this is a question the Gemara asks. It's a little bit vague what the Gemara is asking. How do you send it away? Now Rashi offers two explanations over here. Rashi's pshat that he does not like is what part do you grab the bird by? Do you grab the bird by the legs or by the wings? Rashi doesn't like that pshat. Although, right, as you read the Gemara right now, it sounds...
The mother
bird.
You're sending it away.
Yeah, but how do you... What do you do?
Touch it, push it,
scare it. No, but we learned earlier this morning that even if you grab it to send it away, that's part of the mitzvah. Even Rav Yehuda would agree that that's fine. Right. So that's Rashi's pshat, which he does not like. Okay, and now for now, our time is extraordinarily limited. Take a look at Rashi. He explains to us why he doesn't like it. The pshat that he prefers is the following. B'meh mishalcha means, do I send it away by flying or by foot? Meaning, says Rashi, maybe I clip its wings. Rav Huna Amar Biragleha, Rav Huna says with its feet, which Rashi says in his preferred pshat means I clip the wings. So the only thing it can do now is walk back.
Can you make the trade?
No. Breaking the wings is one thing. We're just talking about clipping the feathers. Okay? Rav Yehuda Amar Be'agpe, and Rav Yehuda says no, with its wings, meaning just send it away with its wings. You don't have to clip its wings. Rav Huna Amar Biragleha, Dichsev Meshalche Regel Hashor V'chamor. So Rav Yehuda says, Sorry. Rav Huna says, Biragleha, because Meshalchei Regel, sending it away by foot. Rav Yehuda Amar Bagpeh, Dachanafeh Ninu. I'm sorry, what do you mean? How do you think it travels? It travels with its wings, so send it away even without clipping its wings. Hahu de gazinu legapa v'shalcha. A guy cut the wings and sent away the bird. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why Rashi likes his second shot, not the first shot. So a guy clipped the wings of a bird, v'achakach tafsa, and then afterwards...
Huh?
Okay. The achakach tafsa, and afterwards he was tofes, he grabbed it. Nagde Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda said, oh, why did you do that? You clipped the wings? Rav Yehuda gave him malchus. Zil Rabbi le gadfe v'shalcha. And Rav Yehuda says, grow the feathers back. Okay, in other words, wait. Wait till the feathers grow back. And then send it away. But what you did is wrong. You clipped the wings and then you sent it away? No. So, come on, Ikarev Yehuda Lokev in a Mishalech. Now, first of all, Malchus over here, what's going on? So, if he's holding like Rev Yehuda of our Mishnah, so once you blew your mitzvah opportunity, so why is he saying to him, wait till the wings grow back and then send it away? And Ikarev Yehuda Mishalech Vein Lokev Alav. And according to the Chachamim, there's no Malchus. It's Alav and Itak Lase. So, La'olam Karabanon, no Malchus Mardus Midrabanon. So, the Gemara's answer is very simple. The Malchus over here is Malchus Midrabanan. In other words, you violated the words of the rabbis, so for that the rabbis have the ability to give Malchus. Okay. Hahu da'asla kamid rava amale tima mahu. What if it's a tima? Okay. Do I know what a tima is? No. It's a bird. Kosher bird. So mahu amale, sorry. It'll come back. Amar lo yada haigavra dof tower chayv l'shluchei. So he says, what is it? What is he asking me? It's a kosher bird. Of course he sent it away. So amar le dilma chada bi'asahu deramia. Well, maybe there's only one egg in the nest. Amar le hayada lachmas nisan hi ain sham alaf roch achar beitza achar chayv l'shalayach. Right? You learn your Mishnayos? The Mishnah says even with one egg you send it away. Shalcha. So he sent it away. V'ahada l'rava. Parsat gave a tafsa, and Rava, he had a little bit of inside information, let's just say. So what Rava did is he set up a net, and he caught the bird. Okay, which, by the way, of course you can do, because, okay. Valechus lechashada, so the Gemara says, isn't Rava worried about a little bit of suspicion? Insider trading, if you will, right? He knew that the bird was going to be sent away. Kala Acher Yad, the Gemara says he did Kala Acher Yad. Now, what exactly that means, I don't know. Meaning, but he did it in a roundabout way so that nobody knew. It wasn't obvious to the person that he was trapping the bird. Okay, however he did. Tan Rabbanan. Yoni Shavach v'yoni Aliyah, Chayeves, Beshiluch, V'asuros, Mishum, Gezel, Mimnei Darkei Shal. Now we have a Braisa. And the Braisa says that the birds in your Shovach, you have a little birdhouse. Birds are coming in there all the time. Birds coming in, birds flying out. So there's a mitzvah of shiloh haken, which means that fundamentally, who does it belong to? Nobody. However, asurus mishum gezel. But if you want to walk in, take some, you can't. Because darkei shalom, Now, I'm going to teach you a little trick. Whenever you see the words darkei shalom, you know what that means. That means that fundamentally, you're allowed to. It's that the Chachamim stepped in and the Chachamim said, we want to try to curtail the amount of fighting that goes on amongst the Jewish people. Right. And that, you know, and it's not easy. It's not easy. Somehow we like it. I don't know how else to explain it. I know I dabble a little bit in psychology, but what can I tell you? But the Chachamim tried to curtail the amount of fighting. And so when you see Darkei Shalom, you know what that means is that it's technically okay, but it's Asur Midrabanan, which, by the way, end of the day means you can't do it, but it's the Dindarabanan. So the Gemara says, now, by the way, what are we talking about? Talking about the chicks, or we're talking about the mother, or we're talking about the eggs? Right now, let's assume we're talking about the eggs. Iisa lahadam Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Chatzir Shalad Mekorna Lo Shalamidato Kare Kan Kiyir Kare Pratla Mezuman. I don't understand, says the Gemara. Look, all this is taking place on your property. I understand the bird, the mother bird may not be yours because the mother birds were flying back and forth, but it laid eggs in your nest on your property. Those eggs are yours.
They're mezuman.
We learned one of the first rules of Shiluch HaKen is ki karei. There has to be an ownerless situation. So who's going to come in and do the mitzvah? Even you can't go in and do the mitzvah Shiluch HaKen. The eggs belong to you. So Amara beitza imitzias ruba hu dichai v'shiluach makna lokani ad detipu l'chatzero. So the Gemara says like this. Well, maybe we're going to talk about where the egg is mostly out of the mother. So now, as the egg is mostly out of the mother, there's a mitzvah of shiluach, and you don't acquire, your courtyard does not acquire it until it drops into your birdhouse, into your chatzer. And when it says that you're chayav in the mitzvah of shiluach, that means before it falls into your nest. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay. So then if it's not yours, so then where's the Darkei Shalom issue? So the Gemara says, imam. No, the now change gears. You thought we were talking about the eggs? No, says the Gemara. We're talking about the mother. Okay? The isser of taking is on the mother. And even though the mother's flying in, the mother's flying out, point being, Rabbi said, you know what? Don't walk into someone else's property and take a bird, even if the bird doesn't technically belong to him. Darkei Shalom. Keep the peace. Or we can go back to the egg and we can say, no, there's still an issue of Darkei Shalom by the egg because look, most of the egg has come out of the mother. The owner of that courtyard, even if he was not there, but you know, licking his chops, right? Getting excited, the egg is coming. In other words, you're right. Technically speaking, there's no kinyan, but they're still going to be fighting. It's still going to be Darkei Shalom if somebody comes over and says, give me that egg. Or the Gemara says, look, I can even go about it this way. Let's say the egg fully was detached from the mother. The egg was laid. As mom sits on the egg, your chatzar didn't make a kinyan. Because you have the mitzvah of shalech to shalech. So that means now that at this point in time, the egg is not formally yours. Okay. That means that A, there's a mitzvah of shiluach, but B, no one should come in and take it. Why? Because keep the peace. Because of Darkei Shalom. One more little piece and then we'll finish for today. I'm sorry, So the Gemara says, so why Darkei Shalom? Meaning, if you didn't send the mother bird away, so that means it's ownerless. And once you send the mother bird away, so now you made a kinyan, a real kinyan. So it's more than Darkei Shalom. It's called, that belongs to me, don't take it. All right, it's real thievery. So the Gemara says, Bekatan. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the perpetrator over here is a minor. So katan bar, so and the minor is not chayv in the mitzvah of shiluach haken. So the Gemara says katan bar darkei shalom hu. So the Gemara says there's an issue of darkei shalom for a katan. The Gemara basically says yeah. Hachi kamar avishol katan chayv la'achzi olam imne darkei shalom. Yeah. When he comes home, dad needs to return the egg because otherwise darkei shalom you'll fail to keep the peace. Okay, good. Okay, and with this we'll stop. We'll pause. I should say. Okay, so. The Mishnah, we finished, the first sugya of today was the Aseh versus the Los Aseh, and the question of how to understand Lav Anitak La'aseh, and the classic discussion, one of the most basic discussions of, is the Aseh what's called, connected to the Los Aseh, or no, you violate the Los Aseh, and the Aseh is coming as a way of repairing, but the Los Aseh is just an independent Los Aseh. And then the other big discussion is the mitzvah saseh in front of the lo saseh, that's Rav Yehuda's position, or behind the lo saseh, that's a chachamim's position. And then a couple of details of how to send the bird away, right? And the question of who owns the bird right after the egg was laid. Okay, we'll stop over here. Next time we pick it up, which will not be tomorrow morning, we'll start with the story of Levi Bar Simon. And we'll finish up with a really unbelievable sugya, which everyone here knows already. Okay, about the matan tzcharen, about the reward for the mitzvah shiloh hatzon. Okay, and that will be take place with the siyum. Siyum, I don't know when it's going to be. Details will follow because we are going to have a siyum. It's just a question of when and where. I already have a sponsor.
So
No. So tomorrow, Becharos, page 1. Or I should say rather page 2. Okay, good.